following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, coming to you from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of the program. Thank you for downloading, tuning in, whatever it is that you do to acquire this show. If you could really do me a solid, if you would, please share the show on your social media, or however it is that you do this. That'd be big. It'd be wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. The more listeners, the better. It helps us out. Trust me. It justifies my will to live. Oh, gee, Rick, you don't have to be that big. I kid. This is a difficult enough gig as it is. I don't need to add that to it. It's a cry for help. Speaking of cries for help, the incident that occurred down in Florida last week, I'm not going to get into it in too much detail. We'll talk about it a little bit there toward the end of the program. It's a thing. It happened. It's unfortunate. And there's a lot of this going on, and it's crazy. There's things that are happening all over the place, and I know we're all just weary of it. We're all just kind of tired of it. And I see this stuff in my social media feed, and people are bitching and complaining about this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. And the one thing, there is a little bit of good news that has been going on, and that's and this is going to sound kind of funny. This is we're in the midst of the Olympics, that are happening in Korea. Which, my hat's off to Korea. They did a hell of a job putting together a fantastic venue and setup for this whole thing. It's really just a great thing all the way around. They did such a great job with it. And I'm actually enjoying it. In the past, I never really give two shits about it. The Winter Olympics I kind of like more than the summer ones. It just seems like there's a little more action, it's a little more fun, and it's kind of cool. And this time out, I have been oddly supportive of everybody somebody that's doing well. You could tell they put in a lot of work, a lot of effort, and you know everything is happening, and it looks great, and they're going out there, and you feel for the ones that don't win, and you're happy for the ones that do, no matter what country they're from. Why do you hate America, bro? Well, that's just it. I don't. And I'm genuinely happy. These are, for the most part, a lot of youngsters that are in there and making their first time appearances, and they're just excited. They're just thrilled to be there out there on the world stage. Everybody is watching them, and they're doing good. They're having fun. I think that's mighty nice. I do have a question, though.
Oh, here we go.
Why did the Russians were allowed to show up at this thing is beyond me. I know the International Olympic Committee said, you can't compete as the Russian Federation or whatever they call themselves now. So they're competing under the Olympic flag, which there again is also kind of weird, and they're calling themselves the Olympic Athletes of Russia. And the thing is, they're winning medals. How is this allowed? Didn't we tell them, sorry, bro, you've got drugs in your system, that you're breaking the rules, we can't have you here? And the Russians are over there going, but yeah, is it okay if we send them over anyway? And the IOC is going, yeah, sure, why not? We're not going to deny them. We're just going to not give the country its recognition or for whatever. What the hell? And I'm not going to apologize here by any means at all for my following statement down the way, because I know we have listeners in Russia, and you know, hey, what's up? But fuck the Russians. I'm tired of hearing about this bullshit with them. Whether it's in their country, whether it's in Korea, whether it's in the White House, in Congress, in the United States, it's wherever. I'm tired of hearing about the goddamn Russians. I'm fucking sick of it. And it's everywhere, you know. And I can't even open up my news sources without seeing a picture of Putin next to Trump. It's I don't know. I don't have the answers, but God damn it, I'm tired of seeing it, you know? I get it, when the spirit of competition, and that's the beauty of the Olympics, is that there's these moments, these wonderful little moments that occur between, you know, two competitors, and they're from different ends of the world, and they may know each other from the worlds that they travel in, and then they're having a fine old time, and that's great, that's wonderful, and they're wishing them each other the best, and that's good. And that makes me feel better, because there has been, in the long history of humanity, there has always been this slight thing about sports being a wonderful conduit to peaceful situations. It does open up the doors for discussion, which, you know, I thought was really kind of cool that the North Koreans teamed up with the South Koreans to put some athletes into this thing. I don't need to know all the ins and outs and all the political bullshit and wrangling that goes on with it, and I don't give a crap. It has nothing to do with any of that. But it's giving athletes and people from all over the world the chance to do their thing. And it might open up a door. If some of the people in the United States quit being assholes about it, maybe we can have a discussion. Yeah, but they got nuclear weapons, bro. They're going to kill everybody. Yes, and this is what I mean about that. It's okay for you to have a gun and a picture of it leaning against a wall saying, I've left it there for 5 days and it hasn't killed anybody. So guns don't kill people, people kill people. But on the other side of the coin, if I ask you, is it okay then for Funyun over there in North Korea to possess a nuclear weapon? No, man, they can't have it. But you just said, guns don't kill people, people kill people, so it's okay to have a gun. So by your logic, nuclear bombs don't kill people, people kill people. So it's okay for anybody to have a nuclear weapon. It's the same thing. In my mind, it's exactly the same thing. What happened in Florida was a travesty. My heart breaks for those people. It does make me feel a little bit better that we're seeing these youngsters, these students out there that are standing up for what they believe is right. They have every right to do that, and I hope something gets done. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm not here with the answers, but I do have a question though. The fuck you need an AR-15 for? If you tell me, well, I got to have it for home security. Yeah, there's plenty of other choices. You don't need an assault rifle. Nobody does. Well, the biggest killings in the world happened with pistols. That may be the case, but nothing in this world is more efficient than committing ending the life of another living thing than an assault rifle. That's just all there is to it. So I don't know. That's all I'm going to get. That's all I'm going to get into about that, because it's not what this is about. It's you know, I'm trying to find some positivity in the things that we're seeing in the world, and I think the Olympics is doing a fine job of that. By the way, if you're tired of hearing Katie Couric, turn off the center speaker in your 5.1 surround sound system, and she magically goes away. Oh, Katie, she's cute as hell. But by God, sometimes these people just don't know when to shut the fuck up. Let these athletes do their thing. I can watch. I can see what's going on. You know, you go out and you watch them do their thing, and it's fun. It's great fun, you know. I don't need a commentary of just a moment by moment of what the hell's going on. I have eyes. I like to watch. Talk before and after the performance. That's what you do. That's exactly what you do. Although I must say, one of my favorite events, it's the sliding stuff, right? Which is basically what the Winter Olympics are. You're sliding on snow or ice or something. But when they go down that 2 mile thing where they run the bobsleds down, but they got the guys doing the luge, and the ladies too, and the skeleton, and you know, the luge is you're going feet first, and you're holding your head up, and you're flying down this track at a million miles an hour, and skeleton, of course, you're laying on your stomach and you're face first or head first going down this track at a million miles an hour. And I learned, I'm going to pass this on to you, I learned a little bit of information. Why is it called skeleton? I'll tell you why. The skeleton, they call it skeleton because the thing that they're sliding on is the skeleton of a bobsled. Ha! See there? Learn something new every day. How about that? And it's kind of hard to imagine anybody who can go down that thing at, what, 90, 100 miles an hour with the gigantic testicles it takes to do it. So it's great. It's a lot of fun. If you were looking at to somehow, and it's an ancient sport, I know. The ancient Greeks were doing it. Hell, I don't know. If you want to make it interesting, if you were to ever change it, I would add an event. I would of course keep the solo stuff, but I think you could make a slight change. You build that sliding thing about three times as wide as what it is now, and you let them go down, neck and neck, three at a time. Hell yeah! Now you're talking. That's good sports right there. I'm telling you, it's a $1 million idea. They do it with snowboarding. They do it with cars. They do it with all the skiing. They do it with all that other stuff. With runners, hell, have them slide, three abreast down there, and let's just let Isaac Newton and his gravity machine take over from there. I think we're just looking at some high television fun right there. I'm telling you, it would be insane. It would be crazy. Death on the ice. That's kind of what it would turn into. but anyway, that's. Enough of all of that. All right, kids, got a show for you, as we do each and every week around here. Usually here, at least as of late, we've had some performers in studio at Radio Memphis, radio-memphis.com, on 24 hours a day, and it's big fun. We have a great time down there, and I tend to pull some stuff from our blues appearances, because just about every weekend there's a live performance down there, and as of this taping, this weekend is certainly no different. And but every once in a while, I like to bring in somebody during the middle of the week. We have a chat. We have some fun. It's all great. And it's great. This time out, I wanted to bring to you. She's been on the program before. She's been at the radio station. She's been on this show. Liz Kenmark. She's the Bendy Beast. You can find her at bendybeast.com. And she's going to be talking about a show that's at this time is about to happen. Well, the thing is, it's already happened. I know this because I went to it, and it was great fun. It really was. It's Pluminati. All the details can be found at her website. If you're in the Memphis area, when that show comes back around, she does about three or four a year. When it comes back around, you need to go to it. It's great entertainment. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, we're going to talk to Liz. She's going to talk a little bit about that show, but she's also going to talk about some place that she went to that she may not have been allowed to go. Wonder what that is. Anyway, that's coming up. So stick around for all that. Plus, a little bit later on, we've got music for you from the library. Airside, they're kind of a power pop act, and they're going to perform a song for you from the library. That's all coming up. So stick around. We'll take a little break when we come. It's a short break. It's like 30 seconds. When we come back, it is Liz Kenmark, the Bendy Beast, here at whatever the show is. What is this show called? From Radio Land.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company. Ancient burial mounds, yellow fever, maritime disasters, Victorian murders and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
Our good friend Miss Liz Kenmark is here. Hello, Liz. How are you doing?
Hello, Rick. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, bad man. It's I know you were here about 3 months ago. I guess.
Yeah, I think maybe two, maybe a little less.
Yeah. You were hipping the Pluminati show.
Yes, absolutely. That was before our New Year's show, which was amazing.
Did it all go well for you?
It went very well. Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I saw a bunch of pictures of it, and I tried to get out there, to be honest with you, and I couldn't do it. I got held up in other things. But from what I saw, it looked like everybody was having a big time. And
We actually, for the first time at the last show, set up a photo booth so people in the audience could just jump in and take some crazy photos. It was
with the performers or just the...
Yeah, with the performers. Performers jumped in too. Yeah. It was good. We're sort of building a pre-show situation. People can have
a pre-show situation. Yeah. I like this.
Yeah. It started really small in the early shows. We just had the polls set up and we were like, people can jump in and learn some things.
Yeah.
Which is still available, but a lot of people are too shy for that. So we're giving other options such as just take your photo in the photo booth, maybe wrangle some performers in with you.
Right. Well, you know, having access to the performers helps, you know, yes. it's always fun to meet the entertainers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you added the element of burlesque into this, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We had the first burlesque performer last time, and this time I believe we'll have three. So the burlesque piece of it is expanding.
Yes. Yeah, because after you were here last time, mm-hmm. a lot of those entertainers found me on social media, and they were reaching out to me and all this other stuff. So it was awesome. It was kind of cool because now, you know, because we had talked about this before, but the performance artists in this town, I mean, it's a neat thing that is going on here, and it doesn't get as much notice or recognition as say music does. I mean, because music is very popular here, of course. But what you guys are doing is really, really cool.
Well, thank you. It's definitely building, and I think people are starting to get more confidence and realize that there's an audience for this. And
well, sure there is.
We just keep going with it.
Yeah. Now it's you got the new show, the Valentine show, right?
Yes.
And it's what, tomorrow night?
It's tomorrow night. It's. I actually said, I have a friend who's in town from New York who's performing in it, and she's staying with me. And I woke up this morning and I was like, it's real. We're in the real zone. It's the day before.
Yeah, it's that point where the train has left the station and you can't stop it. It's going to happen with or without you.
That is a great description.
Yeah, see, the ball goes down the hill and it doesn't stop. And it hits everything in its path. Mm-hmm. Once it goes, it goes.
Yeah. So we're there. It's going. It's great.
So it's tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, is that right?
Yes, starts at 6.
It's an early show for a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's, you know, the early side of the night, so you can come out, have a few drinks, and then run out to wherever the rest of the night takes you.
Sure.
If you stay at Rumba Room, they have classes and dancing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because the show's at Rumba Room. They're on South Main. Mm-hmm. And at 9 o'clock, then, if you want to learn how to foxtrot or to rumba, perhaps.
Exactly.
You can hang out and listen to the salsa music and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. So it's a fine time down there. And South Main is always lit up with all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, there's lots going on a Saturday.
Our mutual friend Stephen Gunther,
yes.
and Emily, of course, have that shop down there, the mm-hmm. Broom Closet. In fact, Stephen will be here.
Oh, yeah?
This afternoon. He's making an appearance with Joel Martin in the afternoon show. So that's going to happen.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love them. I live nearby, so I just wandered into their shop one day and started talking to them.
Oh, yeah.
You're good people.
Well, yeah. Well, he was the one that hit me to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how you wound up in our orbit.
Uh huh. Yep. It all just connects. It's great.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, that is cool. So, this show that's tomorrow night. What all's in it? Who all's in it?
You got
fire dancers. You got mayonnaise wrestling. What do you got going on in this thing?
I mean, I might have to file those ideas away.
I know people. You know, we can probably make something happen.
Hook me up with the mayonnaise wrestlers. We'll try to loop that in.
It's the thought of it sounds fun, but it's really quite disgusting.
You're right. As a person who runs a show, that's probably the show that I want to spectate at and have nothing to do with the
production. It's the cleanup. It's like anything else. It's the cleanup that's always the disastrous part.
Yes, absolutely.
But I kid. No. So what do you got to
know? So this show is the Valentine's show. So it's sexy is definitely the theme, and we have more pole dancers than ever. So I think this is 7 pole dance acts.
Goodness.
And 3 burlesque, and then we have. Modern dance, we have a belly dance, and we have poi spinning to go on top of that.
You got what spinning?
Poi.
Poi?
So it's like
I'm thinking
fire,
of...
but it's not actually on fire, it's LED.
Oh, okay, poi spinning. I'm thinking of the dish in Hawaii, poi.
No, poke, is that?
Poke poi? I don't know, I've never been.
It's not a fish.
It's not a fish.
It's not a fish.
So it's fake fire.
Basically. It's not fake fire. It's its own art.
It's its own art.
Yeah, yeah. Fire indoors at Rumba Room is kind of...
Probably not a good idea. Yeah, no. You don't want to... No.
Yeah.
Pyrotechnics in general in small enclosed places is
right.
not really...
You know, again, as the person that runs the show, we've had a lot of requests lately for shooting glitter.
Oh, God, no. Glitter is... That's you know, there are countries now that are talking about banning the stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's dangerous. It's
it
getting
is.
Into everything.
It is.
I mean, it's fun and all, sure.
Listen,
but
I love glitter. I actually... My pet cat is named Glitter. That's actually how strongly I feel about glitter, but I, as a showrunner, really do not want...
Because vacuum cleaners don't pick it up.
No, you'll never get it. And I love them at Rumba Room. I want them to continue to love us.
Well, you know, there's a thing, speaking of glitter, the glitter bomb. Uh-huh. That you can mail to people.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've heard of
when
this.
When somebody's being an ass to you, you can send them this thing anonymously,
right.
And when it opens up, it just blows glitter all over the place.
Yeah. So maybe this is a joke that may get turned on me if I do a bad job running the show. I doubt it.
No one's going to send you a glitter bomb. Are you kidding? Everybody loves the Bendy Beast.
Yeah.
Well, cool. The show starts, of course, at 6, goes till 9 o'clock at the Rumba Room tomorrow night. Now, how much does it cost to get in?
It's $13 at the door.
Yes.
And if you buy in advance, it's $20 for a dedicated seat. And it's $140 for a VIP table.
Oh, my.
Yes.
What's happening at the VIP table?
At the VIP table, you will get a bottle of champagne.
Yes.
You will get a signed poster with all the cast members' signatures.
Yes.
And you will get a raffle ticket. We have some pretty awesome...
Do you get to take an entertainer home?
That's not part of the package. You know, you might have to work that out on your own, but...
Yeah,
we can't guarantee that.
So it's a guaranteed table right there close to the
yes,
action, and yeah. It's not really that bad. How many people at the table?
Four to a table. Yeah,
and it's $140.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's a great experience. It's a lot of fun. We'll seat you. We'll make sure you have a great time. Take care of you.
Tickets are on sale now.
Yes, at Pluminati.com.
Yes, mm-hmm. And. And then, of course, at the door the day of the show as well.
Yes.
You did a pre-show last time, and you said you were talking about the photographs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the you had the hippie drum
thing. Drum tribe.
Yes. How did that go?
It was great. Yeah. They'll be back this time.
Oh, yeah.
So last time was the first time we had the drum tribe, and uh-huh. they were amazing and got there completely on time. So they were the
really?
First people there. They got there before me. And I roll in, and the first thing we always do is set up the poles, which... seems simple, you know, we're pole people, we've done this a lot of times. There's always somehow something wrong with the equipment the day of. So pole setup never goes as cleanly as it should. So I'm like wrangling pieces of metal and trying to get this together. And the drum tribe is like setting the stage and like...
They're doing their thing.
They're doing their thing. And there's just this like background drumming to me being stressed of trying to put this pole together. And I had this moment where I was like, I'm just going to lose it right now.
Will you guys stop it?
Like, you know, like I didn't burst out and scream that, but I wanted to.
You really, really wanted to. Yeah.
I really wanted to. And in my head, I was like, this was a terrible idea. This was just the worst idea. But then as soon as we got the poles together and, you know, my stress went back to normal levels, I was like, this is actually really beautiful. And they set the energy in a great way.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was really cool to have live accompaniment as people rolled in and found their tables and their seats, grabbed a drink. And they were like, you know, they changed the tempo as the energy changed.
Oh, yeah. It's a constant. Once they start, there's no break in it until they stop. Mm-hmm. And when they stop, were you able to get them to stop?
Yeah, they did. They were very polite. There were a couple times I had to have them quiet just so I could like announce performers have to go here, go there, and they were fantastic.
Well, that's good. I saw some video that you had posted on your social media of, and I think it was your performance. I did see it vicariously. Yeah. I wasn't there, of course. But I was kind of surprised to see how the pole works. It's not connected to anything up top.
Exactly.
I didn't realize that. I thought you attached it to the ceiling. It's like a shower curtain rod that's got the spring thing.
So those exist, but you have to have the right kind of ceiling and the exact right height. So
right.
The ones we use for this show are called stage poles, which is where there's a really heavy base.
Right. It'd have to be.
Yeah, it has to be. And then the pole just goes straight up, and it's not anchored at the top, so there's some wobble.
There's a lot of wobble in it.
Yes.
It actually kind of adds to the excitement of it because you're sitting there thinking, is she going to knock that thing over? That's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a circus act.
It is. Yeah. You know, well, that's part of the art of the stage pole is knowing just how much you can throw yourself at it before it hits.
It's like anything in life, really. You got to know how much you can throw yourself at something before it'll fall over.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you had, look like you had, what, three of them set up? Is that right?
We have two.
You have two?
We have two, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so... this time, actually, there will be many pole acts. Last time, there were only four pole acts. So it was only about a quarter of the show, and then everyone was dancing around them. This one's going to be more pole heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Are these people that you work with in your classes and stuff?
Yeah, there's one performer that's one of my students. There's a performer that's a studio owner in Mississippi that's coming in for the show.
Yeah.
She is a beautiful dancer. And there is my friend Lara, who's here from New York, who's an instructor out there.
Oh, so she's in the show as well?
She's in the show, yeah.
Oh, that's good,
She's an incredible performer. I'm really excited to have her
out here.
So you
got some out-of-town talent coming into this.
Yes, yeah. And I have someone visiting me, so I get to show them all the Memphis things, which is very exciting.
Is it what y'all doing today, just riding around going...
Well, today,
here's the barbecue joint.
The train is rolling, so it's a little more show focused. But yesterday we got barbecue.
Yeah.
We went to the Pyramid Lookout and we went to Graceland. So it was pretty good day of Memphis.
I'd say so. Did you drag her down Beale Street yet?
Not yet. It'll come.
How long is she in town?
She's here till Sunday morning.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back to the big city.
On the way back, yeah.
Oh, she's going to get there and realize that she could live here, so she's going to wind
that's
up moving.
That's the thing, yeah. Because
that's happened to you.
All. Exactly.
You know, yeah. You came from New York and moved here.
Yep, so I'm just going to work on pulling it all. It's like, no, it's actually great here. Just come here, you have space, you have barbecue, you train,
yes,
you're happy.
Yes, people don't get in the way.
Yeah, it's good.
And South Main is so cool and groovy anyway.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. Liz, Ken, Mark, the Bendy Beast, she and I have been sitting here scheming. Thinking of naughty things, I guess. I don't know.
Yes. Grandmaster plans and naughty things.
Oh, yes. Those are the best kind. We were talking about some shows. Of course, you got a show tomorrow night at the Rumble Room.
That's right. We're in go mode.
Paluminati.com.
Paluminati.com. You can learn more about the show, find tickets for tomorrow night, and watch videos of people doing all kinds of amazing, crazy.
Yeah, you can get a taste of what the show is like. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. It is. It's going to be a large time. And this one, of course, being the Valentine's special, has got some burlesque in it.
Yes. Yeah. This is going
to
be the sexy of the sexy. They go down to pasties, and there will be some butt. They're not fully naked, but there will be some naughty parts.
There's some butt and pasties. That's the name of a band.
Yes.
Butt and pasties. Yes. Butt and the pasties. There we go.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah. No, oh, no. It's good adult fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
So is it 21 and up?
It's 18 and up.
Oh, yeah. Well, hell yeah. 18 and up at the Rumble Room, and come on out tomorrow night. I think I may be free tomorrow night.
Yes, come on.
I think.
Come watch.
We'll talk off the air about
it. Yes, we will regale you.
Oh my goodness, yes, I will be entertained. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about this because I saw some pictures of you on social media.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of pictures.
Yes, there's a lot of pictures of you on social media. But you did a naughty thing. You left the country and went to someplace you're not supposed to.
Oh, I did.
You went to Cuba, for God's sake.
I did go to Cuba.
How was that?
It was amazing. It was unlike anywhere I've ever been.
Did you drink rum and smoke cigars and lay on the beach and all this stuff?
I did lay on the beach and I did drink rum. I did not smoke cigars. I did, however, bring back 3 cigars that will be raffled off at the show tomorrow.
Oh, well, look at you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like a good Cuban
cigar. True story. Yeah. True story.
Yeah. So what does something click, say, hey, let's go to Cuba? Is it was one of those things?
Kind of. So I have a friend who runs a jewelry company. So she, holidays are her peak time. Like she works all through the holidays, takes no break. So
right.
She always takes her break on the other side in early January.
Right.
Travels somewhere.
That's where y'all went. When y'all went.
Yeah. So she was looking for a travel buddy and she just posted on the social media being like, hey, does anyone seriously want to go like to the Caribbean with me these dates? And I was like,
to the Caribbean. That's clever. Yes.
You know, I was like, I really need a break. Actually, because I had been running the New Year's show, so I didn't take a break during the holidays. So
right.
I was like, that sounds glorious.
So you're thinking Bahamas, Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, that kind of thing?
That was where it started. But then we started looking at tickets, and I think it was her that just sent me, like, what do you think about Cuba? And I was like, oh, yes, done.
Yeah, I'd love to go.
Yeah. It was, and so we started looking, Googling restrictions, like, if
yeah, because there's a way
possible.
To do it. Yeah.
And at the moment, it's, you know, there are restrictions, but it's not too intense. Like, you can go if you're a journalist. We went as performing artists. There are a lot of pretty reasonable reasons.
Sure.
Why you can actually go. And once we were there, other than checking a box for the plane ticket and for when we were in the airport, nobody on the other side.
They don't care.
Cares, you know? Yeah. Like,
so did you fly from the States directly?
Yeah, I flew from Nashville to Atlanta and Atlanta to Cuba.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I've always heard that you had to, like, fly to Canada or Mexico.
I think you used to have to. And then Obama loosened it up. And then Trump has tightened it up again, but not to the level that it was before.
I got you.
So they still
have, still doable.
Like, some private business there. They actually have Airbnb now, and we stayed for 3 days in an Airbnb.
Awesome. So it was reasonable?
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing.
I mean, it's cheap to spend time in Cuba, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We stayed for 3 days in Havana at this Airbnb that was owned by, like, Belgian architects that have this as their second home.
Oh, my.
So it was just beautifully decorated and amazing.
Probably cameras in every room, too.
Probably, but I hope they enjoyed us doing cartwheels up and down the hallways and handstands in the living room.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had a friend of mine that had gone to Cuba, but he went through Mexico, I think mm-hmm. it was. And I think he was in Belize. And there was a boat that actually goes, I think it was Belize. Anyway, what they did is that since you had an American passport, mm-hmm. they put a piece of paper in it that's the size of the passport and they stamp it. And you have to keep that in there. They put a paper clip in there. And that was, so when you were there in Cuba, you had that. And it had your visa, if you mm-hmm. will. And then when you left, they took it out so they don't have to tear up your passport.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of cool.
That is smart. Yeah.
Did they check your passport when you went in?
They checked it in and out. And
did they stamp it for you?
I don't think they stamped it. We were looking and we didn't see a stamp.
Probably not.
Yeah. So, but there were no questions. Even on the way back in, there were no questions. It was, every time there's a little adrenaline rush of like, is this when someone's going to do something?
You're thinking like you're in a Cold War story of some sort,
Right. But it was pretty simple.
I heard the food is really, really good.
It was really good food, although both of us did end up having stomach issues.
So
It tasted good.
So was it the food or the water?
It seemed like it was the water. Yeah, that was...
bottled water, honey. Bottled water.
We only drank bottled water, but I got sick first, and I had been using tap water to brush my teeth.
Ah, there it is.
So that...
Yeah, you got it. You got to stick with the bottled water.
I didn't pay enough attention for that one. So, yeah. Then we were joking, because we did 3 days in Havana in the Airbnb, and then we did 2 days at this resort that was all-inclusive and beautiful and, like... really quite inexpensive for what it was.
Sure.
And we were sharing a bed and a room and everything, and we both got sick, and we were like, well, now we're like great friends. Like, if you can have stomach issues together with someone, we're friends for life.
Yeah, I would say so, because that's one of those things you'll never forget.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. A nice bonding experience. Absolutely. Having to share a toilet.
Yeah.
When there's all of that going on.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act for sure.
Yeah.
So they had like a club fed type thing? Club med?
I guess I've never done club. I've never done any the resort. It was this thing ever. So this was my first all-inclusive experience.
Yeah.
And I thought it was something I would hate just because it's like, I don't know. I've always.
It seems kind of skeevy.
Yeah. I feel like I'm an explorer. I don't want you to tell me what my experience will be, but, right. It was so awesome. You don't have to think at all. You just don't think. You just like go
eat
get
and drink
food
and sleep.
Yeah. It's so great.
Yeah. Oh, well, Cause it just, I've never done the all-inclusive thing either.
Yeah.
But it just seems like, it's, I don't know, these guys wearing terry cloth robes and, Coke spoons hanging around their neck. And it's like, hey, baby, it's head up to my room. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of older couples.
Americans?
No, a lot of Europeans, very few Americans. There were, I think,
You guys may have been the only ones there at the time.
May have been the only ones, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that could be where you got your sickness, too,
Yep.
Ice will be the same way.
That was what I thought, because I got sick still when we were in Havana, and I thought that ice in the drinks might have been.
It could have been.
Might have been what did me in. So, but it was still whatever. That was just like a
bump in the road.
Bump in the road. It was like, we're in Cuba. We're gonna live it up. We're gonna have so much fun.
And I don't care if I'm crapping my brains out. I'm in Cuba. I'm having fun.
Yeah. It was, the architecture there is like nothing I've ever seen. It's just it's this beautiful. Time capsule. The cars.
The cars. I was about to ask you about that because the story is that, of course, in the 50s, mm-hmm. they were like any other market. They bought American cars.
Yeah.
And then when the embargo happened mm-hmm. under Kennedy, that all stopped. And they have no other cars except what they had back then. And these guys are masters of keeping these things on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like we cabbed a lot of places, and so we got in a lot of different versions of this car that seemed like different levels of maintenance. And like so,
they
some
were
of them
rattle
are
traps.
Ride, yeah. And some of them you're like, woo, hold on for your life.
The seat's not bolted to the floor.
Yeah.
That kind
of-
Oh my God! Yeah, I'd love to go. And everybody that I've talked to that have been down there just said it's just an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And the people there are apparently very, very cool.
Yeah, they were very cool. There were like a few moments that it felt a little sketchy to be an American, but for the most part, no sketchier than like some big cities here where people are just trying to hustle you.
No, it's not like they're going to, line you up against a wall and, you know, the blindfold and cigarette thing. They're not going to do that to you.
Yeah, no, not hardcore like that. Just more like, yeah, I don't know. We probably are the country that, like, caused a lot of strife for you. Like,
oh, okay, but yeah. Thanks for ruining our economy, right. You know.
Yeah, well, just that.
Yeah, well, there is. Apparently in the, I think it's in Havana, there's a park. I can't think of the name of it. It's like a big city park, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the guys that played professional baseball and have since retired mm-hmm. that went back to Cuba, they live not far from there. And they hang out in the park all day long.
Oh, wow.
And you can sit there and talk to them and they'll tell you about their days. And some of them are in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
And they went back home. And
That's amazing.
They can talk to you about their days playing the game because baseball is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Well, Fidel Castro once tried to play for the Yankees.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
And he I think they were gonna put him on the bench, put him in the pinstripes, and then he got a knee injury and went back to Cuba and took it over and became a dictator.
That is an incredible series of events.
So think about it. Had the Yankees just went on ahead and signed his ass up, you know.
Very different world.
It'd be a completely different world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's like the old thing about Hitler was an artist. He was a painter.
No.
Yeah, he was. And some of his artworks every once in a while will show up in auction and stuff. And it's not that great. I mean, it's really weird. And he had applied to go to this art school in Berlin or Munich. And he was turned down. The professor said that you had no discernible talent. And so he took over the country and then invaded Poland.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So we got to start paying attention to our artists and our athletes.
Absolutely. We should, yeah, we don't need to piss these people off because they turn into dictators, apparently.
Mm-hmm. So come to the show.
It'll be fine. Support it. Or one of them's going to invade the Sudetenland.
Yes.
That's hilarious. Tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock at the Rumba Room there on South Main.
Yes.
It's going to be the big Pulluminati show. Tickets are available online at Pulluminati.com.
That's correct.
Yes. And you can see some videos and pictures and stuff like that. To get a sample of what you're going to see.
Yeah.
It's fun for everybody. Well, not everybody. You know, you don't want to bring Junior out to this one.
No, Junior will not make it without an ID.
18 and up for the show because there's... Butt and the Pasties going to be out there.
Butts and Pasties.
Butts and Pasties. Man, I'm there, man. I'm so there. And pole dancing and all that fun stuff, too. So how many performers on this one?
You know? 13.
13?
Yeah.
Well, it's not... You had, like, what, 14 last time?
We had 15, I think, last time. Yeah. There's been a couple drops this time, but, you know, we're powering through. 13 is a lucky number.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It'll be a big time.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Liz, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
On the phone, all the way from the UK, Mr. John Brewer has joined us. Hello, John. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Rick? And I don't know whether you spend any time, or I know that a lot of your listeners would spend time in New Orleans, but every time you go down there, I mean, you can't help but hear music, wherever it is. And that's very important. So to the slaves that basically, and also those that had been given freedom, would congregate in the square. And they made their music, and they made their, or staked their word. And that was it. And I think that's spread all the way over the world. All of that is now spread.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
There you go. You heard what's coming up next time here from the show, which is going to be kind of different because it's going to go into a different. I have to go in a little bit of a different thing. I got to go back to Texas for a few days, and it falls right in the middle of my production schedule and release of these shows. But it won't affect you at all. I promise. It'll we'll have a show for you either way. But we'll tell you about all that a little bit later on. So there. All right. Let's get into some music. These guys, they're from the area. They are a lot of fun. They've been down in our studios at radio-memphis.com. They've performed live on the air during the Radio Memphis Live Music Hour, which is a show that occurs on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Central. And we have something from their record. Yeah. The song is called California 4. Here it is. The band is called Airside, and you're listening to it from Radioland.
Under the Memphis city lights, got a $10 bill in my back pocket, but I think I can make it through the night. I hear the music playing, moving to the beat. All the bodies swaying, start to feel the heat. When I saw to make my way across the floor. She walked right up and gave me a whisper, said I'm a California 4. I'd take a chance. She rocking them skinny ripped jeans with the high top vans. Take my hand.
California 4 is what that is. The band is called Airside. Go get it. It's good stuff. It's fine stuff there. Appreciate everybody in the band for being a part of the old thing here at Radio Memphis. You can always learn more about the music that we play at radio-memphis.com, which, by the way, I'll take a brief moment here to tell you that that whole website is about to go through a massive, massive change.
You just did that a little while ago.
Yeah, I know, but we got to do it again because we're doing this whole mobile compliance thing that's going on.
What's that mean?
It means that you can listen. You can look at the website on any device, and you don't have to have an app for it. That's even better. I don't know how we pulled that off, but leave it to our webmaster, Mr. Jeff Janovitz, for putting all that together. So that's going to be happening soon. So stay tuned. Figure out more. That's on the way. You've heard what's coming up. Next time, I got to go. But before I go, I tell you each and every week, part of the sign-off, which I will say again, and I, you know, it's tragic what happened in Florida. Something has to be done, but I don't know what. Maybe you guys have some of the answers. Maybe you don't. But thoughts and prayers ain't cutting it. I'll leave it at that. Until next time, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. And for God's sake, please, stop shooting each other. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.